This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Toxic Trillions. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. The week started with warnings about the solvency of U.S. banks. This morning, a much broader warning. The world's banks may soon be in a much bigger hole than first thought. The price tag of the pain may be as much as $4 trillion. From London, Stephen Beard has more.
The numbers just keep getting bigger. In January, the International Monetary Fund came up with a figure of $2.2 trillion. That's the total of bad debt it expected the banks to rack up by the end of next year. Now, according to British press reports, the figure is spiralling upwards. The IMF could be set to forecast that global bad debts will almost double to $4 trillion. Grainne Gilmore, economics correspondent of the London Times.
Not only are banks suffering from their exposure to subprime financial instruments, they're now suffering, because of the recession, they're now suffering on their standard mortgages, credit cards, overdrafts. People are defaulting on these at a higher rate.
Analysts say the pressure is on governments to do more to clean up the bad debt. But after so many multi-billion dollar bailouts, voters' resistance is growing. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Shares of overseas banks like HSBC, UBS and Deutsche Bank are down between 3 and 5% this morning. Markets in Europe are between 1% and nearly 2% lower this hour. Most major markets in Asia ended their day on a down note. Yesterday, U.S. markets closed lower for the first time in 5 days. The Dow lost 41 points, or 0.5%, to close at 79.75. Alcoa, the big aluminum company, will mark the start of first quarter earnings season this afternoon after Wall Street closes. Alcoa is usually the first component of the Dow to post quarterly results. In general, analysts aren't expecting a whole lot from the first quarter. There is hope, though, that companies will at least meet or exceed already low expectations. Jill Barchet reports.
Investors expect companies to say they earned 37% less in the first 3 months of this year than they did a year ago. Al Goldman is chief market strategist at Wachovia Securities. He says he's not surprised.
I think anybody who doesn't know that first quarter earnings are going to be bad doesn't have a pulse.
Goldman says all the bad news has already been priced into the market. But investors are still nervous about financial companies. So a warning about the banks caused the whole market to fall yesterday. Art Hogan is chief market analyst at Jefferies & Company. He says the bar for companies is so low right now, it could actually work in investors' favor.
So to the extent that we're able to see numbers come in better than those expectations, you might actually find this to be something that the market rallies on.
Several analysts are counting on banking stocks to lead the charge. A change in the accounting rules last week could help them pump up their reported profits. In New York, I'm Jill Barchet for Marketplace.
Venezuela's Hugo Chavez is in Beijing today, and oil is on the brain. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong has that.
Chavez is cultivating a growing partnership with China. Beijing just agreed to put $8 billion into oil exploration and other projects in Venezuela, which in return will triple its oil exports to China. David Zweig of the Hong Kong University for Science and Technology says Chavez is diversifying away from his chief oil customer, the U.S.
So he's a firm believer that China's rise is a terrific thing for the world.
China right now is the top market for new cars, so its leaders are shopping for oil everywhere.
One of the things the party is using to cement its political survivability is to buy off the urban middle class by letting them buy cars.
So does this alliance cut off Venezuela's oil for everyone else? Maybe not. Beijing's investment in oil exploration there may turn up more crude for the world. And the more China buys from Caracas, the more that's left elsewhere for someone else. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
GM and Segway are announcing a joint venture today. The companies want to launch an upright, electric-powered two-seat vehicle by 2012. It's being called PUMA. That stands for Personal, Urban, Mobility, and Accessibility.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Tens of thousands of Iraqis have fled the country since the U.S.-led invasion. One of the more popular destinations has been Sweden. The Swedish government offers refugees a program that includes health benefits and a stipend, but it can be expensive. And one town outside Stockholm is now playing with ways to trim costs. Alisa Roth filed this report.
About 1,300 Iraqis have come to the city of Södertälje since the war started in 2003. It doesn't sound like that many people, but they basically increased Södertälje's population by 1% last year.
When it comes a lot of people in a short time, it's problem in the kindergarten and in schools, and it's a problem with job opportunities.
Anders Lago is the mayor of Södertälje. He says the huge numbers also made it hard to get people through the integration program, which was supposed to teach them about all things Swedish, including the language. So about a year ago, Södertälje came up with a completely new way to deal with asylum seekers. It started by cutting the integration program in half, from 3 years to 18 months. Erika Bendt runs the program in Södertälje. She explains that the city really changed its whole philosophy.
This is the main goal, to get people out and work as soon as possible.
The refugees take classes and do internships, and the new system is designed to make that year and a half feel as much like work as possible. They even get paid to participate.
It's full time, and if you're ill, you have to go to the doctors, and then you have your vacation, and this is how it works. If you don't come here, you won't get any money.
The idea is that the refugees will be much more prepared for real life when the time comes, and hopefully be able to succeed in the job market sooner, which is, of course, good for the refugees. But it's also good for the city. The Swedish government subsidizes the refugees while they're in the integration program. But if they graduate and end up on unemployment, the city has to pay for it. In Södertälje, Sweden, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Alisa traveled to Sweden for this report on a grant from the International Reporting Project. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.